You're listening to the New
Churches. You're listening to the New Churches.com Q&A podcast.
New Churches,
New Churches is the online hub for mission of church multiplication.
Here you'll find resources, training.
What is that? Canadian?
The resources. You need to get started.
How do you spell that? It's resources.
That's good. I think at the beginning people might have thought that it was a mistake.
No,
but it was not.
It's just the brilliance.
It is
the brilliance humor that we have together.
The brilliance humor, yes, totally,
yes,
and the grammatical. Yeah,
you can tell by my grammatical speakingness. So,
awesome. Anyway. Well, today we have a question from Brett. So let's listen in.
Hi, this is Brett Risley from Salt Lake City, Utah. My question has to do kind of with the church planting models and approaches that get used. There's a lot of good ones. There's a lot out there. But typically the approach, at least that we see a lot out here in the West, is people come with a 501c3, a church name, a logo, the website, and they launch into a community, usually parachuting in, trying to find a building and then trying to fill that building by making disciples. And then hopefully as they make disciples, engaging the city and engaging culture. And so my question really is just, what have you guys seen in the West specifically that has been the most effective in terms of the models of church planting and approaches to church planting? And maybe more specifically, what entry strategies have you guys seen be the most effective, and what methods and tools practically have you guys seen?
So he kept on asking his, not one question, but many questions. So we cut him off.
You just cut him off? You cut him off?
No, we have a timer.
Is he Mormon?
We have a timer on our
recorder.
Is he
Mormon? Is that why you didn't, is he Mormon? Because we never know. Is he, because I mean, what if someone calls from like a sect or like a cult? What are we going to do then? I'm not saying that Mormons are a cult. I would say that they're another religion separate and distinct from Christianity, and not a psychological cult. But what are you going to do? What's the plan?
Well, is Salt Lake City in the West? The Western?
Well, you didn't answer my question. Salt Lake City, there's a lot of Mormons there, right? You're familiar with that, right?
Yes.
I know you're from Canada, but you know there's kind of a thing there.
Well, you know, we don't actually answer every question that's submitted. We do screen them.
Wow, really?
Yeah, we do.
Do we get like really bad ones?
Well, I recently got a question about, what do you do if you have a baby out of wedlock?
And like, that was the question?
That was the question. Because
I'm like, that was like, so church, so maybe family questions are coming in. So the answer would be, love that baby. I don't know. That seems out of the church planning space.
And that's, but why, what do I know? And that's why we're not answering that question.
All right. Fair enough. Well, I'm going to move on.
Yeah. But Brett sounded pretty safe here. His question sounded pretty safe and was in our wheelhouse. So I thought we.
Yeah, that sounds fair. All right. Well, let's talk about it. So, first, I think that, and it's not just the West, it's, there are areas, some of the methodologies that we discuss in church planting are built around the idea of that there are enough believers to assist you to do something similar to what we trendily call a launch. Now, that means you have to have, you have to have, 15, 20 people, maybe more than that, who are going to be part of your strategy, a core group. Mm-hmm. So, but then the question is what are you going to do with a core group? What are you going to do if you don't have a core group?
Yeah.
Now, you go into some places, you go into Vermont, you might be starting from scratch. You know, think of Vermont, New Hampshire, some of the most unchurched states, much more unchurched actually than a lot of the West. And so here what happens is you have to move in different models and methodology. So if there's not, if you send out 500,000 mailers, I'm making up a number,
yeah,
to reach every person in Salt Lake City, also making up a number, and yet your percentage response can be so, so low, you can't rely on some of the tools that others do, which I think is the heart and the point of his question.
Totally.
So for me, I think ultimately that may mean a bivocational strategy where it takes more time. Because if you got to be self-supporting in 2 to 3 years, I wrote an article recently on creating, using missionary church planning strategies. You have to do that in more resistant places. You may have to, you know, your approach may not be, let's start a core and then go public. Your approach may be, let's start a home Bible study and maybe two, and then it grows to two after a year. It may be slower and you have to pace accordingly.
Completely. I mean, it's interesting because I experienced what I've lived in Tennessee now for 2.5 years, and I just experienced my second Easter, right? And when I was preaching at our church, I mean, our one campus is usually maybe 200, if at the most, adults on a Sunday, and we were at 280 at the one campus, and even more at the other campus. And there's just so many people that came out of the woodworks for Easter. Now, compare that to when I was pastoring in Montreal. Well, that didn't happen when it was Easter. People just didn't come to our church. You know, the unchurched, the de-church, they didn't just come because it was Easter. They didn't even come, right? So, I mean, the way that you do outreach, for example, and because you have, I mean, you could send out a mailer in the South and, you know, you could get a lot of people that would come out. You can wait for these bigger days, these Christian, you know, quote unquote holidays, and have people come in to join you. But in more unchurched areas where the background isn't there, you're right. We do need to go about it in a different way.
Yeah, and so I think more like missionaries, less like launchers.
Yeah.
You know, and again, there are certainly exceptions to this, you know, but think in terms of a longer runway to take off, you know, but I think kind of coming back, I asked Chuck Van Engen this question a few years ago.
Oh, cool.
How was church? He's a professor at Fuller. He's like 700. No, I don't. Now I feel bad. I should look it up. He's not. He's not that old, I don't think.
The guy's prolific. I mean,
Yes. That's right. You're a Fuller grad. I forgot you're a Fuller grad.
I am.
All right. So let me see. When you Google Chuck Van Engen, the first thing people suggest is Chuck Barris still alive? I don't even know. And then what's the meaning of the Missio Dei? So those are somehow related. So I don't know how old Chuck is, but he's a wise man, however old he is. He doesn't look that old. He's going to feel bad that you said that. I'm going to blame you.
I've never had the privilege of meeting him, but I just said that because the guy's prolific. So,
well, you know, in 1991, he wrote God's Missionary People, which there was actually someone beforehand in 1982 who wrote a book called God Who Sends, Francis DuBose.
Yes.
But really the first broad idea of missional was sort of introduced by Van Engen.
Yeah.
And then Guder would sort of, like, it would bust out under Guder's writing.
Totally.
But really Van Engen is sort of part of the tree that launches all of these.
Yeah,
anyway,
I mean,
so I asked Van Engen.
But you know, that book, God's Missionary People, that's one of the key sources that I cite in my upcoming book, No Silver Bullets, when I talk about missionary models and all that stuff. So I kind of bring back some of the stuff that he wrote about and see how it relates today. So
nice. See, I didn't even know that. And I gave you a chance to plug your book. We need a little thing that goes ding every time someone plugs a product. But anyway, since you're the first one's ever done it, we'll go ding.
Thank you.
When's the book out?
September 1st.
Oh, we're talking about way too early.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so let's do a whole show on it later.
Okay.
Okay. So back to focus. So I emailed Chuck, and what he talked about is church planting has shifted a lot, where it's become what we call now, I don't think he used the language, more missional incarnational, more your being missional, which we all want to be in favor of now, but also this incarnational that you're taking longer, you're inhabiting a community, you're building relationships. So if you come in to, you know, a Mormon community. Now, Salt Lake City is actually not majority Mormon, but if you come into a Mormon community and you announce, hey, we're here, people are going to like, okay, who are you? Why does that matter?
Yeah.
So, but if you're there, you build relationships, you're engaging in missional conversations, but you're also living, inhabiting, engaging those communities, the ultimate result is that you'll kind of walk down the journey and become with friends and have the opportunity to share the gospel with them.
Yeah, that's good. And that then does affect your funding strategy, right? It affects how much you should raise and maybe whether you should even start bivocationally as well. Because if you're looking at a longer runway where you're not launching with 150 people, then and you're coming in with a big budget and with donors, then there's no way you're going to be self-sustainable in 2 years, right? If you're starting with one small group and then 6 months later you multiply and have your second small group. And it's just a different way of going about it. Right. But it's
for sure.
I mean, yeah.
It's more missionary feel, and missionary is going to be the bivocational or going to be longer runway, you know. And again, I think for a lot of people, I don't know that you're going to get a lot of mission agencies or churches are going to fund you for 5 to 7 years as a church planner. So you may want to look at that bivocational path, or you know, have some sort of means to more accelerate that process. But people are going to be more resistant, and that's part of the journey.
Completely. So in that way, one of the things that I love that we've talked about here in the past, especially as, you know, in terms of launching a church and starting a church, Ed, I remember you, we talked about this in Planting Missional Churches, and you've mentioned it multiple times on the podcast, where you would actually lead multiple groups at the beginning at the same time, right?
Yeah, yeah. So when if I was full time, I'd be leading 2 to 3 small group Bible studies and just making sure that there's an ongoing habit of that, because I think, you know, that's how those, and by doing them separately, they sort of eventually, they eventually kind of get their life of their own. Because if I do them all together, then basically I've got one thing. If I could take 3 things, then I can intentionally build a greater multiplication level.
Yeah. And what I love about that is then you're not having to, the multiplication can happen more rapidly, right? Because it's not like you're having this one group where everyone is now best friends, right? And it's super hard to split up, but you now have these 3 groups and, you know, there's greater opportunity for that. And everyone sees, oh yeah, there's not just one group going on that's going to change anything, but you're embedding in the DNA this idea of rapid multiplication.
Yeah, and let me say one last thing too. One of the things we found in survivability and growth studies in the past is there is a correlation between having realistic expectations and actually the church surviving. And so I would really encourage people to recognize that they need more realistic expectations. That I want it all pushed down on their faith. I want them to have great faith for great things. But what they want to know is it's going to probably take longer in places like that. They need to be careful to go to a conference and hear, well, I just planted a church. It ran 1,000 people in like 2 years. That's probably not going to be you. I mean, let's believe God for great things. But let's recognize church planting is a long, hard slog. And that long, hard slog is harder in more resistant places.
Yeah. Yeah. So I hope that was helpful, Brett. For everyone else, if you have not yet submitted a question, be sure to do that and give us a rating on iTunes, Stitcher, and however else you get your podcast. And we would be forever grateful. Thanks again for listening in.